Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Myself, along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, come here, shop, and save at Rouse's during our big Labor Day sale. Guys, I'll throw a few scores. They have restarted this game. That was a rain delay in Morgantown. Penn State, pretty convincing. It still has about 8 minutes left in the third quarter, but Penn State 27-6 over West Virginia. I thought West Virginia had a shot early.
Yeah, they were playing tough, but right.
Yeah, and just couldn't get points on the board.
Well, and Mike, you know Coach Franklin. I mean, what he got to beat Michigan or Ohio State to be relevant. How
West Virginia is one thing, but yeah. Ohio State, Michigan. Now, with Oregon, Washington hitting the Big Ten?
Mm. Well, Mike, he has to be on the hot seat then, to me. They're not bad, but they're not winning anything. And they haven't won anything with Michigan, Ohio State.
Okay, I say this about the Saints, but he's the same way. They're stuck in purgatory, football purgatory. Okay, you might win 9 wins. You might maybe squeeze a 10 out, but it's 8-9 every year for James Franklin.
And it seems like they might be just out of the playoffs and not quite there.
Well, you got plenty of talent up there. And, I mean, Pennsylvania, that whole area is talent rich. I mean, at some point, you got to be able to win the big game.
Oklahoma State pulling away from South Dakota State at the end of the third quarter, 38-13.
You know whose son, Brian Young's son, is he's a freshman there. And I don't know if he's redshirting or not, but he's a freshman up there.
The U, Miami of Florida, midway into the second quarter with a 10-3 lead over Billy Napier in Florida. You talk about a dude on the hot seat. Billy better not lose this one. You see the end of that schedule?
No, they have. I heard they had, if not the toughest schedule in the conversation, in the toughest schedule in the nation.
They're bottom five or bottom six, the end of it.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be in bad
shape. Well, and the same thing, expectation, because name, image, and likeness, because they used to do that before they had name, image, and likeness was legal at the U. So with Cristobal, he has a couple of strikes against him. He has to do something with Miami. I think he might have to almost get Miami into the playoffs at least. Or Mike be somewhere 9 or 10
people ain't
wins.
Gonna be happy if he don't make the top 12.
Yeah,
telling you.
Yeah,
and I know he's got a huge coaching staff. They had three guys coaching the defensive line. Coach O was one of them in the fall. Jason Taylor, Mason's dad, who was a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and Joe Taliavu, who's their assistant defensive coordinator. But he was a former defensive lineman. They had three coaching.
Listen, there's no reason, and dudes, that was back in our day, or my day, I say right before you, but the U was the team. When you look at the swag, I think they invented swag. When they would show up for a bowl game, and the players that they had in the NFL.
It started to be a 15-yard penalty.
It started
to be unsportsmanlike penalty, because they definitely invented it. And it was, Ray Lewis and that whole crew were a part of it, but it was something to see. I am trying to think of the – what was the DB –
not Ed Reed.
No, it was way before Ed.
Yeah.
It was probably 92.
Blades? Benny?
No. He would have been with Benny, but it was the defensive back. I'll never forget it. It was at Alabama that he's on the sideline. He's high-stepping. It was one of their defensive back. But, it was you've got to go and see Miami or Miami.
And then Randall Hill there, too.
He was another guy
that took it to another level. Also, Texas, midway into the second quarter, 17-0 over Colorado State.
Well, Texas, now that's a team. They kind of one of those that could be competing or in the conversation that if you look at playoff position and go, if not Georgia – I think from a national perspective, more people's on that Texas bandwagon than Alabama.
No, I agree.
It's kind of Georgia and Texas.
Yeah, Texas are expected to be in that, one of those 12 teams in that playoff.
And then what is Ole Miss, about fourth, I'd say, if you look Alabama and then Ole Miss?
Well, it's Georgia, it's Texas. And then it's probably Alabama and then Ole Miss and LSU. Those are your five that are expected to be in that conversation.
I'm telling you, who's going to be in that conversation?
Tennessee?
Missouri.
Missouri? Oh,
well,
but their schedule.
Yeah, well, their schedule, I mean.
Missouri. Look at their schedule.
But the problem becomes, okay, we have the one that gets automatic. Am I going to put four teams or five teams from one conference in the playoffs?
No, Archie thinks it may be four from the SEC.
Well, yeah, you're going to get one because of the automatic bid, and I can see them for sure getting three.
This year he strongly felt, because of the kind of cuts, and we can see it with a Georgia and a Texas, that you might have a 10-2 SEC team that don't get in.
Yeah, they're going to look at things.
I can see that.
They're going to look at Trent's schedule.
But you're going to have probably a 10-2 that does get in. A couple of them.
I agree with that. He even talked about there might be a team, and he said, I think it'll happen every year in the SEC, that maybe is 9-3. But how they finish this season, and because of their strength of schedule, you can't leave them out. I think about LSU, the last year with Jamarcus Russell, they had a couple losses. They played in the Sugar Bowl against Illinois.
They crushed them.
My thing is, if that team would have been in, a
playoff,
well, they might have had a chance to win.
They're going to run. Yeah, to go on
because of the talent at that time on LSU's team.
You know, and when I look at maybe I just like the name or something, but I'm so intrigued with LSU's home schedule, celebrating 100 years of Tiger Stadium. I don't know if this is a coincidence, but this is the greatest year to have season home tickets, and nothing against Nicholls State, because throwing the ball to all the universities around the state and all for one.
Because that was a rescheduled
right,
game.
From COVID.
Yeah, Coach O had scheduled that for 2000, and then they couldn't play it, and so they were able to get them back on.
Like in 2020, yeah. And then getting them back on. But whoever would have thought in the same season, nothing to do with the SEC, but they are part of the SEC, UCLA and Oklahoma's coming to Tiger Stadium. Oklahoma's never been to Tiger Stadium. I don't think UCLA has.
No.
Think about that. That's household names. I mean, you might say, well, Bobby, UCLA, they're not that good. But it's still, you heard of UCLA. I mean, like you see, in the same season, USC, UCLA, around the ones in Las Vegas. But UCLA, you know, some fans will travel. They never see the tailgate like you got at LSU. And then Oklahoma coming.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, and I know we've talked about it. Deuce, I don't know if I brought it up with you, but we've talked about it with Charlie before and Bob. What happens if LSU and Ole Miss roll this to mid-October?
Undefeated.
Should be.
Man.
It should be.
You got an opportunity there. I would want the alcohol sales in Baton Rouge that weekend. You wouldn't have to work for another 10 years. With that, you talk about a big game buildup. That would be it, and how it was last year in a game that if you took the over and midway into the third quarter, you had already covered. I mean, those two teams shot it out, well, and you think at the end of the game, we both saw it. Chris Hilton, they threw the ball, it hit him right in the hands, and it hit his face mask. And that Jaden Daniels put it right on the money. He just couldn't come down with it.
Do they still do them cheers? I never forget because I was part of it. They'd say, go to hell, Ole Miss, go to hell. And then they'd say, go to hell, LSU, go to hell. They'd both say that. I never remember, and it rhymed with Miss, wee-wee on Ole Miss. P.I., you know what, on Ole Miss. It was unbelievable, the fan base. I'm telling you, when T-Bob, when Coach O was at Ole Miss, and, you know, T-Bob went to his camp and all, and my dad was like, I know Coach O's family and all that on your grandma's side. My grandma and Coach O's dad were first cousins, but the whole thing, he said, no, You can go to a lot of different places.
But you ain't going.
It's like, no, it'd have been like you've been to your trader. I mean, because LSU, Ole Miss. My dad, I guess, was going back to Archie and all days way back. Beyond that, was like, it wasn't Alabama and all that. It was LSU, Ole Miss, game.
Think about when LSU really got relevant with Paul Dietzel in the late 50s. It was Ole Miss, who was a dominant team in the SEC. All of a sudden, that game. LSU,
and
Ole Miss,
the one player from the Bayou, Ronnie Estee Crockett.
Oh, Crockett, yeah.
When Archie had broke his arm, and Ronnie Estee sacked Archie, and I think I was in sixth grade. Dudes had to write a paper. You know, you got to write a paper on your subject, and about Archie and his army coming to the line. And here comes the Raging Cajun, like Crockett Estee busted through the line, gets him for safety. I think LSU won 63-17 or something.
Yeah, that's after Archie and Ole Miss had beaten them twice.
Yes,
Only loss on the schedule one year was against Ole Miss. And Archie said, man, do I hear about it all the time from LSU people?
I remember, you always say that. I tell my dad, I remember when they lost at Nebraska and Jerry Taggy one time in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
I remember I'm crying and all that. I go, Dad, I thought you told me they were going to win. He goes, I don't know. I thought they were going to win too. And then they didn't come out on top. It was like 18-12 or something. I never forget that.
We'll be back.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.